This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Our focus this in this session is going to be on understanding the weapons of our warfare, understanding our weapons and understanding how now to practically walk in freedom from the demonic oppression, how to practically walk in it, and how to be an agent for God in the earth. And we're going to do it scripturally, so we're not going by anybody's experience. We're going to go by what the Word of God says, and if we do that, the Word of God has enough information to keep us on the right path, so that you will not get off. All right? Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We are dealing with the millennium spiritual warfare. This is our final session, and we're going to, everything we have taught you thus far has been based on the Word of God and the connecting knowledge of the Word of God, so that we have a clear perspective of the spirit world and a clear perspective of what our role is in defeating the demonic encroachments in the earth. Now turn to John chapter 14 so we can get the pressure off of you. See, the pressure is never on me. Jesus said this way, he said the pressure wasn't on him. He says, what you see me do, the Father do it. The Father do it. The Father in me doeth the work. Now Jesus is in us. And you got to understand that he will do the work of deliverance. You are just his agent. But I want you to scripturally understand that, because it's not based on you. All right? Look there in verse 10. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The works that I do, the works that I do, shall he do also. So if Jesus cast out devils, we can too. Amen? The person that said, this is talking about me now. Amen. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask, watch this, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, when we teach you concerning prayer and concerning petition prayer in particular, when I'm praying for God to give me something, he says, in that day you shall ask me nothing, John chapter 16, verse 23. This is not talking about petition prayer. This is talking about doing the works of God. And when I'm out doing the works, Jesus says, he does the work. Yeah, you got to understand the difference there. Because Jesus said in John 16, 23, you know, let's go there. Didn't want to go there, but y'all, somebody looked at me like I never heard that scripture before in your entire life. Boy, and I got this. All right, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Asking and shall be, asking you shall receive, that your joy may be full. He's talking about petition prayer here. Asking for something for you. Asking for stuff. Over here, he's talking about ministry. And when I'm involved in ministry, he says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Jesus. Y'all don't see that? That will I do. Jesus says he'll do it. Now, the context of this, it's not asking for a blessing. The context of this is doing the works. Amen. So I got to understand who I am depending on. That when I am ministering to folk, I am not dependent on my holiness, my righteousness, my good looks. I'm dependent on him saying, because he abides in me and I abide in him. And just like the Father did the work because the Father was in the Son, so shall the Son do the work because the Son is in me. You follow me? So I got no need to fear, no pressure on me. Ain't my gospel. I ain't write this. So ain't no pressure on me. I ain't write this. He said he will do the work. All he needs now is just a vessel to work through it. I'll be the one. But who am I dependent on to do the work? See, I got to get that into you, that you understand that he promised that he will do the work. So my dependence is on him to keep his word. Amen. Now turn to Mark chapter 1. Now the reason that's important is because we are the body of Christ in the earth. And if Jesus was physically in the earth now, what would happen if a person felt that they had a demonic situation on their hand? Would they seek Jesus out? Would they? You might be right. I mean, you're definitely right. Because, I mean, they'd seek him out to go find out where is Jesus, because I understand he heals the sick and he raised the dead and he casts out devils. All right, look there with me in Mark chapter 1, verse 32. It says, and at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Now, why do you think they gathered at the door? Because they knew they were going to get some results. All right? And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. And suffer not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now here it is, here's the point. The church is the body of Christ in the earth today. When they want deliverance, why should they come? To the body of Christ, to the church, to you. But ain't no pressure on us, because who does the work? Jesus, he does the work. When I ask it in his name and I'm doing the work in his name, I can count on his power coming to bear on the situation. So I am never, ever in a position of intimidation. My reputation is never on the line. Look at the person that said, I didn't write this. My reputation is not on the line. All right, now, turn from the Bible. Just look at 12. We'll look at 12 situations where there was spiritual engagement with the demonic forces so that we can draw wisdom from them. All right? Mark chapter 5, the demonic of Gadara. All right? Verse 1, and they came over. Now, the reason I'm giving you all this scripture is because your faith needs to rest on the word of God. And that is a problem that I have with a lot of folk who began to deal with and try to teach deliverance. They give you no word. They all just talk about experience. Well, I mean, your experience is something that may be unique to you. I need what God's word says, because when I get ready to, when I'm in confrontation with a spirit, I can't trust that you told me your experience accurately. You may put some theatrics in there. It didn't happen just like you said it. But I got the word of God, and the Bible says this word was given to us, and by this I can be thoroughly furnished to all good works. This is enough to make me perfect. This is enough to bring me to the place of excellence in ministry. Amen. Amen. So don't give me no little book that somebody wrote that ain't got no scriptures in it. And that's where the believer has to learn to discern things. Somebody's telling you all their weird experiences. You don't know whether that's true or not. And I ain't going with it. I ain't want to see that. Tell me how it was done in the Bible. I can put my faith on that, and I can work with the word. Look at the person that said, I can work with the word. All right, now. All right, so in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over to the other side of the country, of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him one out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Let me do this. No, I'm going to do it this way. All right. All right. Who had his dwelling in the among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been broken, had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This is a wild fellow, breaking chains and ropes, living in the graveyard, and always crying night and day. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He has suicidal tendencies here. Amen. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him that he would not send them away into the, out of the country. So they wanted to stay in that region. Because remember, demons are the inhabitants of the pre-Adamic world, you see. And they liked that, they liked where they were. So don't send us out the country. And of course, we found in another passage, on yesterday, they asked him, they said, "Don't send us back to the pit. Don't send us back." All right? Look what Jesus does. And now there were nigh to the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, and that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So there were demons in this man that caused 2,000 swine to go run away. I mean, the capacity of the human spirit is enormous. You got it? And there were legions of demons that had infested this man's life, but Jesus delivered him. All right, turn in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Here we'll see a woman whose daughter's vexed. You see something else? I need that one. That's the one I need, Pastor. All right, verse 25. And a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's bread." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." Wait a minute, the daughter wasn't even around. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. My, 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 my. So this deliverance took place long distance. See, you don't have to physically be in the presence of the person, because there's no distance in the spirit realm. Because he doeth the work. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 1. Let's back up. Mark chapter 1. Your faith must rest in the word of God. Verse 21, and when they come to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in that synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" So there in the synagogue, in the presence of Jesus, I mean, these demons start crying out. And I tell you, the presence of God can saturate a place in such a manner that the demons can't stand it. Amen? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit, watch this, and when the unclean spirit had torn him, there's that distraction, and cried out with a loud voice, screaming, he came out of him. That's the bottom line, right? It's supposed to go. The demon's supposed to go. All right, now, look there with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The demonic presence is what hinder your people, your hinder people from being born again. The demonic presence hinders the people from being born again. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now that's amazing, because the Bible says the reason people will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ is because the devil got them blinded, the God of this world. It's not talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is not talking about God the Father. Here it is talking about Satan. He is the God, the small G-O-D of this world. Amen? So I understand that it hinders folk from getting saved with demonic presences in their lives. He's blinding their understanding. All right? They're in the book of Job. Job was attacked by the devil, and that is what brought him to a place of poverty. His poverty and his sickness was not the will of God. He was attacked by the devil. Turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. All right, verse 22 says, and that was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. So what? Look at this. This demon spirit was causing a man to be blind. That's not saying all blindness is caused by a devil, you understand? But with this, in this particular case, this blindness and this inability to speak, this man was both what? Blind and dumb. Inability to speak was because a demon had infested his body and was afflicting him and was disabling him in this area. And when Jesus cast that spirit out of him, then guess what? He could then speak, and he could then see as well. Turn from your Bibles now to Matthew, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Well, we were in Mark. How come you just didn't tell us about that one then? Because this is my lesson, and I can have you jumping all over the Bible if I want to. Verse 17, we looked at it last time. I want to look at it in more detail. It says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Here again, this boy couldn't talk because there was a dumb spirit. All right, not only that, but watch this. And wheresoever he taketh him or overtaketh him, he tear him. He calls him to jerk and gyrate. And he foameth and gnash with his teeth and pineth away. Now, y'all know what pining away is? Y'all seen people pining. And that is this kind of a stupor rocking. That doesn't mean everybody's pining. Got a devil saying. All right, see, y'all in your mind already going, okay. All right, watch this now. So when this devil, which demonic force, would overtake this kid, then it would cause him to jerk and gyrate, almost have convulsions. This is what's being described here, that the little boy was having convulsions here. All right, it says, I spake to thy disciples that thou should cast him out, and they could not. Obviously, they had tried. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. So he started convulsing again, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? There Jesus is, trying to find out, how long has this been happening? All right, look what the man says. He said, of a child, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of that child cried out with and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, the screaming took place, and rent him sore, start jerking and gyrating and clamoring. You follow me? But what else? It came out of him. And he was as one dead. He fell down, limp, fainted as though it were. And insomuch as many said, he's dead. And Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Amen and amen. All right, let's look at another encounter there in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, there in verse 11. We'll see another aspect of a spiritual engagement with the devil, an encounter with the devil, Jesus ministers a little different way in this time. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, all right? The spirit that caused a weakness in the body, all right? 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. Looks like a case of arthritis here, that she was bent over and could not straighten up. Look at this now. That doesn't mean everybody's bent over got a devil. All right, have to keep saying that because y'all be going, okay. Ain't Lily been bent over for about 15 years, eh? All right, now, all right, watch this. And when he saw her, he called to her and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her and said, immediately, he laid his hands on her. Now, this situation, he does lay his hands on the woman, all right? And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because of Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him unto watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years of this. But in the presence of Jesus, she was set free. Amen. All right, turn with me in your Bibles now to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This fortune teller gets delivered by the apostles. The fortune teller gets delivered by the apostles. And it came to pass, verse 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, and which brought her masters much gain with the 1-800 number. I mean, no, that's by Sue saying. All right, psychic hotline. I mean, that's what it says. That's basically it. All right. And she followed Paul and us in Christ, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Now, Paul, this lady is following them, and she became a nuisance to him. And then Paul turns and he cast this spirit out of her. Look at verse 19. And when the master saw the hope of their gain was gone, because she couldn't tell fortunes anymore, she was no longer in contact with these evil spirits anymore, these familiar spirits, so she couldn't make him any money. They called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and unto the rulers. This is why Paul and Silas got thrown in jail, because they delivered this woman and cast out this evil spirit. And the guys who were her boss, they couldn't make any more money off of her. Turn with me your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Case number 10. This is a revival going on at Samaria. Now, this is not one of the great apostles. This is Philip, who was one of the deacons in the church. And Philip understood his role, and he has this great revival that's going on in Samaria. Verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now, it says, therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. 4, unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. God, listen at this. We see in the scripture how these spirits, they cry out, they make these loud sounds. So don't be afraid when you hear it. That's just common to it. Amen. They're screaming. Amen. It's weird sounds. We've heard some of the weirdest sounds come out of folk when they're being delivered. All right. Daniel chapter 10. Satan hinders the answer to your prayers. He hinders the answer to your prayer. And so Daniel had prayed, waiting for the answer to his prayer. 21 days goes by, and then the angel shows up, and the angel shows up with this testimony. Verse 11, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand these words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, this is an angel talking to Daniel, and then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didest set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So he says now, I was on my way, but then these forces of fallen spirit came and interfered with me getting here. Now you got to understand that many times your answer is being held up. The revelation you need to do what God wants you to do is being held up. And you have to understand that you have to by your word, get the angels involved to get your answer to you. All right, now, turn with the Bible to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Here's a satanic deception that took place of the righteous. Just because I'm saved, just because I love the Lord, just because I'm filled with the Spirit, does not mean that the angel will not, that the enemy will not attempt to deceive me. So Ananias and Sapphira, they were in the New Testament church, filled with the Holy Spirit, just like everybody else. But the money issue came up, and they couldn't handle the money issue. All right, verse 1. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. There was a certain man named Ananias, and Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, look at this now. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Just because a person's in the Lord doesn't mean that the devil won't try to deceive them. And the devil deceived them and brought their ruin on. Now turn to Matthew chapter 16. A person can have great revelation in one moment, but if they're not careful, the next moment they can be saying something that is so off that Jesus had to rebuke Peter. One moment Peter was saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next moment Jesus is turning and rebuking him and calling him a devil. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So Peter's trying to talk Jesus, and no, you don't need to go through all that. Now look what Jesus says. Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So in this situation, Peter became the mouthpiece for the devil because he did not guard his heart and he did not take care of what he was saying. Now, let's deal with these encounters. We have enough information now to know how to successfully deal with anything the devil throws against us. Satan's strategy, he has four major weapons. Number one, the weapon of fear. The weapon of fear. That is a sense of being overwhelmed by a greater one, being overwhelmed by a greater person. But we know, according to 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So the greater one in the situation is in us, who's ready to do the work. Amen? And then Job said himself, he said, the reason this came upon me is because I was in fear. So he had been in fear, and that is what opened the gate so that the devil could come into his life. The second weapon is the weapon of frustration. Frustration, the inability, the lack of knowledge that causes hopelessness. I've tried everything. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried the other. And when the devil can get you at a point of frustration where you give up, he has free reign in your life. Number three, the third weapon is the weapon of false doctrine. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. False doctrine and false information. And he uses this false information to deceive you. Boy, y'all getting a lot of notes tonight, aren't you? That's what seminars are about. They'll give out this good information. Verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. How? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So that is, the devil gets in people who open themselves up for it, and that doctrine is a satanic doctrine, and it is seducing people to draw them away from God's perfect plan. And so the devil uses, this is one of his weapons, false doctrine. And then the fourth weapon he uses is fatigue, the weapon of fatigue. And that is just to wear down your physical resistance. That is why if you're dealing with insomnia, you need to jump on that right away. You cannot let the devil wear you down. And we've had situations where we've seen the devil keep folk up for days and days at a time. And so now their will is so weak, you follow me, that they are now prey to all kind of demonic suggestions. Amen. All right, now, praise the Lord. Let's deal with the weapons of the saints. You ready for me to arm you now with the weapons of the saints? Now remember what a weapon is. A weapon is an instrument used in combat to enforce your will on your opponent. You got it? Now, here are our weapons. Now, you understand that when a person goes to war, they use multitudes of weapons, right? Any soldiers in the house? Amen. And they gave you a multitude of weapons, right? Not just one, but you had several different kinds of weapons. But they all the whole purpose was to overcome the enemy in conflict, right? So then, even though we have many, many types of weapons, we want to make sure that we are skilled in using them all. Got it? All right, number one, the weapon of faith-filled words, speaking the word of God. When the devil comes to try to encroach on you, do like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4, he responded with the word. So I got to know the word of God, and I understand that the devil responds and when I speak the word. Weapon number two, the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, Mark chapter 16, there he says, in my name shall they cast out devils. And we understand we use his name because when we use his name, who does the work? Jesus does the work. Amen. Number three will be wisdom and discernment. Wisdom and discernment. The weapon of wisdom and discernment causes me to know when there is a demonic presence. You follow me? And causes me to act appropriately on what to do at the time. The weapon of wisdom and discernment. That is key when I can discern what is going on. Weapon number, where am I now? Number four, the blood of Jesus. Revelations 12 and 11 says they overcame him with the blood and with the word of their testimony. They overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So the blood of Jesus reminds the devil of his defeat. You follow me? And so the blood of Jesus is a weapon. Amen and amen. All right, now, praying, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. You need to see that, Revelation chapter 12. Hurry, verse 11. I want you to see it so you'll know how to find it. Some of the others we have talked about, we've already referenced this in previous lessons. All right, Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they loved not their lives unto death. So I understand this is where it's recorded. They overcame him by the blood. All right, now, next weapon will be weapon number what? Number five, go to Ephesians chapter 6, praying in the spirit. Moshe branda kalisite le mundoro bekete. Mesi branda kasho ramatise. Yeah, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible tells us there in Ephesians chapter 6, we put on the whole armor of God, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Watching thereunto with all saints and perseverance, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying in the Holy Ghost. So I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right. Then my next weapon is a weapon we've been teaching you about here, and that is the weapon of sowing a righteous seed. Sowing a righteous seed. My money is really a weapon. Turn with to Malachi chapter 3. My money is a weapon in deliverance. Malachi chapter 3. They ain't go with that money game. I just get that's what it is. Now you want all the weapons, don't you? All right, watch this. This is definitely in the New Testament too. Verse 1, Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire and like full of soap. He shall set up as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. We've been given this offering in righteousness out of a clear and pure heart. Now look what God says. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord in the days of old, as in the days of old and as in former years. Now, here's God coming on the scene to do some work now. And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the who? The sorcerers. Isn't that wickedness? Isn't that those who are controlled by evil spirits? And you know, we share with you that this is drug dealers here. He said, I'll come against those persons. Somebody's been attacking your loved ones, and you know, the drug dealer is around your children. God says your righteous seed is a weapon against them. Glory to God. Turn to Job 22. Job 22, again, you'll see it. We have people right now in Life Change Institute, and they are there because their loved ones sold seed for them to be there. Wrote us, put it on paper. I'm sending this as a seed for my loved one. Got it? And then God got to work. See, after years of them trying to get to work, God got to work in response to their righteous seed. I'm telling you. Oh, watch this. Job 22, verse 27. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. Thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, and thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Amplified reads this verse, verse 30. And he will deliver one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Don't you tell me my money ain't a seed. Don't you tell me now my money is not a weapon. And this is God saying there are some folk who are guilty. But because you use your money as a seed, targeted for this, he says, I deliver them because of you. Amen, amen. I shout on that. All right, now. So now we see our seven weapons. Do you have them? Seven weapons. Let's go over them. Number one was faith-filled words. Number two, name of Jesus. Number three, wisdom. Number four, blood of Jesus. Number five, number six. All right, number seven will be prayer clause, Acts chapter 19. Our prayer clause, Acts chapter 19. The anointing can reside in the cloth. Verse 13. Verse 12. So that from his body, verse 11, I saw verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. Watch this now. And the evil spirits, what's that? What happened? Went out of them because the prayer cloth. You got it? So my prayer cloth is a weapon. So weapon number seven is what? My prayer cloth. Because it's got the anointing, and the anointing breaks the power of darkness. See now, what the believer needs to do is to become skilled at using his weapons, and has to become discerning in Satan's weapons. He uses fear. You got it? Because he's trying to bluff you so that you retreat and so that you do not stand in the rights that you have. Amen and amen. Now, what do I need to do to protect my family? What do I need to do to protect my family? I need to, number one, pull down the satanic blindfold, since I understand the reason that they could be attacked and not know right and not know truth and not have revelation is because the devil would blind their minds. So I'm going to come against the blindfold that the devil will try to put on my children to cause them to go against the doctrine that I'm teaching them. Come against the blindfolds of those who are in my family, who are lost, so that they can hear the gospel and be saved. Number two, I want to believe that God will send a witness, because the scripture says, Acts 14 and 17, he will never leave himself without a witness. So where they may not be able to, will not hear me, God will send somebody across their path and they'll hear the person. Number three, as a seed, I want to get involved in the salvation and in the ministry to other people, because what I make happen for somebody else, God makes happen for me. Ephesians 6 and 8. Whatever I make happen for some, whatever good that I do, the Bible says, the same shall be done for me of the Father. Number four, I want to use my money as a weapon for their deliverance. Glory to God. I want to make sure that I sow seed for their deliverance. You got people in your family who are off, or you got your children going off, and they may be under spiritual attack. We got the word of God. And so what I'm going to do now, here's what the devil does. He doesn't want you to use these weapons. He will come and tell you that none of this makes sense. What is it you talking about, somebody's blood who died 2,000 years ago? How is it going to affect something right now? See, he wants to discredit these weapons so you will not use them. He wants to discredit the weapon of the name of Jesus. What is me saying the name of Jesus going to do, and my boy is having a seizure right now? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll chase the power of darkness off of it. Right before I left the denomination I was in a meeting where I was teaching on soul winning, and in the midst of that meeting, a man fell out with a seizure right there in the church. I was teaching right here. Boom, he fell out right there. And, you know, it was, you know, in this denomination I was in, of course, they didn't believe in, you know, casting out devils and that sort of thing. But, you know, they was. There the devil was. Here I am. And I know what to do. There's all crowded around trying to hold him. Guys shaking and shaking. I just step right over there and say, in the name of Jesus, come out of him now. Jesus' name. And the guy just relaxed. Stood up. Looked around like, what happened? Got it? And I went back, finished teaching. Of course, everybody in the room was going, did you see that? The church is supposed to do that, you follow me? And then after that, then the ministers got afraid of me. Because, see, they thought they was going to lose their members. Because folk want to be delivered. Folk want help. And I could hardly get out the building that night. Folk coming up, Remy, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Because they want help. I was not acting out of authority, because in that meeting, in that church, I hadn't been given authority to conduct the meeting. So I wasn't out of authority. I had been given authority, and that is why I could take over, because those meetings were meetings that I was hosting. Amen. Just as somebody once said, oh, you must have been out of authority. No, I wasn't. All right, now, so don't let the devil discredit your seed. Amen. Don't let him discredit any weapon, but really that seed. All right, number five, I want to stand in faith without wavering, putting pressure on what the word says. Putting pressure on what the word says. And then in closing, seven things. Well, I may give you eight. That eliminate fear. Number one, the devil cannot devour us at his will. Amen. Number two, every attack of the devil is limited. Amen. Number three, the believer, you are a new creature, no longer governed by your past. So many times he bluffs you out of using the weapons of your warfare and making you think that the situation you got to live with because of what you've done in your past. So there you have a sick child being vexed to the devil, and the devil comes and tell you, well, the reason this child is like this is because remember what you did. You got to understand that that's not who you are now, and you're not governed by your past. And when the devil shoots that thought, what are you to do? You're to open your mouth and quench that fiery dart. Oh, no, that's not me. I am a new creature. I sit in heavenly places. Glory to God. I'm far above principalities and powers. Every name that's who I am. See, you cannot sit there and let the devil accuse you without you responding. Number four, you must understand that the power of the devil has been broken over you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 said, I've been delivered. from the powers of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I've been delivered. Look at the person next to you and say, I've been delivered. Amen. See? Number six. Well, number five. Every satanic attack is illegal and must be stopped. It's illegal for him to come in your home to do anything. It's illegal for him to try to impose sickness and disease on your body. Number what? Number six, avoid the fear trap by controlling the thoughts of your mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Number seven, know that your protection is in your confession. Acknowledge who you are in Christ. Discipline your thought life. Exercise your authority over the devil. And declare that the angels are ready to help you. Amen, amen. And then number eight, be comforted by the faithfulness of God to keep his word. The Bible says, and they went and preached everywhere, Mark 16:20. And God worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. See, the key is you turning from everybody else and relying on God. We are supernatural people. We should see supernatural results when we walk in the principles and the promises of God. So now, are you ready today to have